Well, wonderful. Good, very good to be together today. I'm so glad that you're here today. A number of our people, of course, are away, but a number of you are visiting here for the first time. So that's good. It's all very good in every way. I want to share with you, of course, a number of things, and one of them is, if you will give me another moment for that, a little more of Advent 101. What is that about? And Advent, as you probably already know, especially since I mentioned it at the beginning, it's the beginning of the Christian year, if you will. And one thing that we have looked at is its significance in the entire year. And some of you will recall that this is the Sunday that begins a six-month season, if you will, of God's revelation through the Scriptures during these seasons, and Advent, Epiphany, Lent, and Easter, and so forth. That's God revealing Himself to us. And then starting the Sunday after Pentecost, sometimes called Trinity Sunday, begins that season of us responding to what God has revealed. And so we begin now with another rich, long season of revelation that we can be soaking in and taking in. To break that down just a little further, the 6 months of today through the Sunday of Pentecost, you might find three cycles. This begins the cycle of light, Advent, and Christmas, and Epiphany, a cycle of light in which we see God as light. We put on the light, if you will. You remember when we were talking about dreams, one of the ways you know that a dream is from God is because it's in color. And a white light is all of the colors mixed together. God, as light, is revealing Himself to you in dreams that may be in color. So that's, that's all of that is going on. And then that light continues in Epiphany, and Jesus, the light of the world, coming forward, and so forth. So you get the idea. And then starting in Lent, what we have is a cycle of life. Lent, Easter, the first day of Pentecost, the Sunday of Pentecost, there's life that is just bursting into the world. The kingdom of God is bursting in, as does happen today. And then, from Trinity Sunday on, is a cycle of love, which is our response to the light and the life. So all of that is what's happening, some of the significance that is going on here this morning. A big part of what today and Advent is about, as we read in the epistle reading today that Larry read a moment ago, is to put on Christ. And that's what we're going to look at for a few minutes today, what it is to put on Christ. That's a pretty direct indication of something that we could be doing. And it is very much a part of a life of discipleship. And when we're putting on Christ, what we're doing is we are coming into a lifestyle which is following Jesus. And it really begins taking us steps, if you will, deeper into what it is to follow Jesus, which is beyond what it is to agree with ideas about Jesus. So, a lot of people agree with ideas about Jesus. But then the lifestyle that He desires for us to walk in derives from that. It comes from that. We go deeper and deeper into that. And that's what He wishes for us to do today. That's what Paul says, to put on Christ. So what is that about? How does that work? Well, when you got dressed today, you probably were thinking, let's see, I've got this and this, and it looks all right together. Unless you're a guy, then you weren't thinking that way at all. But somebody probably told you. Yeah. So, you remember what, I liked this, or I liked that, or I liked the way it looked, or whatever. And then you thought, well, what am I going to be doing later? You looked back, remembering what it was like, and you looked forward into what am I going to be doing later? Well, of course, I'm going to be at St. Francis, I'm going to be worshiping, whatever. So all of that went into what it was you decided to put on. Putting on Christ is the same. you remember things that he has done, or you call to mind the promises that were made about him that he fulfilled, or the things that you've seen him done in your life, or whatever it may be, you recall that, and recalling it becomes active. As we're going to do in a few minutes at the table, we will recall his death and resurrection, and it will become active in our lives by the act of recalling it. And then we add to that anticipating what Jesus will be doing, anticipating the day of his return, anticipating when everything comes completely under his rule, and the marks of that day that break in a little bit today. And we have looked at them before, the day when there will be no more hunger, or no more sickness, or no more dying, no more mourning, no more relationships that are falling apart, but he will be reigning in such a manner that all things will be set right. So we anticipate that. And in remembering what he's done and anticipating how it will be, we are putting on Christ to walk with him today. Because in that remembering and anticipating, his presence becomes very active. And we start following after that. That's our choice. And we have a few ways of doing that. See, that's a very different thing than thinking, well, you know, yeah, I agree with that, or I like the band, or, you know, it's closer to my house, or whatever it may be. Just thinking those things, a more consumer-oriented orientation. What it is we begin allowing ourselves to go more deeply into something that we were created to do and to be. And when you start putting on Christ, what happens is your purpose starts coming forward. The significance of why you were born, why God loves you, starts coming forward more and more and more. So, what are some of the ways that we remember and then anticipate? And one of the translations that I really like is Eugene Peterson's. It's kind of a paraphrase called The Message. Some of you are familiar with it. And this particular verse that we're looking at, put on Christ and do not satisfy the desires of the flesh, gratifying his will, you know, all that, which sounds so pious. How do you... who would want to... You just, it's easy to forget right there. Eugene Peterson translates it this way. Dress yourself with Christ and be up and alert. Very different. It's a different angle on the same thing. When you get dressed to do something, you're doing it for the purpose that you're putting those clothes on, whatever that purpose may be. Right? I mean, you're not going to wear flip-flops for a 7-mile hike in Shenandoah Park this time of year, are you? No. You're going to put a different pair of shoes. I mean, at least if you are, we have some names of counselors who are referring to. So you put on Christ so that you'll be up and alert in what Jesus created you to do, who he created you to be, and what he would have you do now. The significance of your life, all of that. And these are some of the ways that you would do it. One would be your personal prayer life. And we've already suggested some ways with the Advent wreath and taking home the insert today so that you can do it in your personal prayer. What you want to do in your personal prayer is reach for this. Get to the place where you are hearing this somewhere in your spirit and your soul. You are my child. And I know the plans I have for you. That's one of the ways you know you prayed. That starts becoming real to you in some way. And it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how brokenhearted you are, how things may be turning out, how successful you've been, or anything like that at all. It's when that starts echoing deep within the places of your heart that you are his And he knows the plans that he has for you. You've started to put on Christ. Now, there are many ways that can happen, and you may find that there's a way that happens now in your life, and then the season changes in some way, and another means of connecting with that will come along. But that's fine. The means are much less important than the message. So that's one way. Another way is by encountering God through other people. So when you're praying, you're going up to God. You're reaching for Him. You're looking for Him. And then in fellowship, you are seeing God horizontally, if you will, through other people. And you know that you have fellowship and that you're putting on Christ in the fellowship when two things happen. One is, you want the other people that you're relating to in that fellowship to succeed, to be everything they were meant to be. You want to be, if you will, used in their life so that they will be everything God created them to be. And then in that, you begin to see more of God through them than what you have seen on your own. I don't remember if I've used this illustration for that, but it won't hurt to use it again if I have. Now, you know how I am. Well, maybe a little bit, but enough to know I kind of think in one point after the other, and I actually have an outline in my head right now, and it's point after point. And you know that in many marriages, opposites attract. You know that, don't you? Well, it's true. And Carol, my wife, thinks in terms of a 3D map of the universe. There's no outline. Nothing like that is going on. So when I see God through Carol, I see things of God I would not see on my own. Now, of course, other things happen in that dynamic that we're not going to talk about this morning. Nonetheless, that's one of the things that goes on. As you will find in not only your family relationships and other friendships, and reasons you're attracted to other people is because there's something in there that you do not get on your own. And in a fellowship, particularly a fellowship group that shares the same mission, the same focus on who they wish to reach, there will be all kinds of personality types in there. And through those personality types, you begin to see more of God through each other than on your own. If I only had to see God on my own, I would think God was an outline. But my outline tells me that He's not. So I see more. So that's what happens. You also begin to see more of your purpose through other people. Not only the purpose of you, but the purpose of others around you. That's why you can begin really investing into the success of other people, as well as whatever mission and goal you're looking for. In other words, your fellowship is deepening, and you are putting on Christ through your fellowship. Not so much when you think, this is a group to which I can contribute and check in from time to time. But this is a group where I want every single person to be who God created them to be, while we go on the goal that we're looking for. Now, there's a third way. And it has to do with what God wants you to do in the world, how you see God in the world every day, wherever you go, wherever you may be, where you run into God in your daily life, or perhaps something special that's going on, but it's just God at work in the world. There is something that God will show you of Himself at work in the world And when he does, that's an invitation for you to join in with that in some way. Now, it may just be to pray for it. It may be that you're going to meet somebody who God is working on. It may be all kinds of things that could happen. But there is something about God opening up to you what he's doing in somewhere else that you never thought he would be working, and invites you into that. When you start to see that and take steps towards that, you're putting on Christ. And you're becoming more like the one who came after us. See, when you follow Jesus, you start doing things that Jesus did. Again, very different than thinking things about Jesus. It's doing things that Jesus did. And everyone is able to do that. And God has a manner and a means for everyone to do that. And you and I can do that in ways that we might not even imagine this morning, but they may really come to life, catch fire within us. Even before the day's out, we may see something of God that we've never seen. One of the marks of that will be this. You know that you did not manufacture it. You didn't cause it to happen. You saw God somewhere in what you think is a wilderness. And you know it was him. And he calls you and he says, come here. An awful lot like Moses in the wilderness when he saw the burning bush and the bush wasn't consumed. And God says, you know, come on, come closer. And then he says, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. The reason that Moses was instructed to take off his shoes was because he made those shoes. They were a symbol of what he personally did as a man. There was no DSW, shoe carnival, anything like that in those days. You didn't go and buy shoes that you saw somebody else wearing and think, those are really nice, I like them. You made your own. And they were a symbol of who you were and what you are able to do on your own. And when God says, take off your shoes, he's saying, take off what you do on your own so you can take up what you and I will do together in the world. When we are praying, as we have been for the past few weeks, for a children's ministry to be a part of what we do, however long that will take, we don't know. That's what we're praying for. We are approaching God, removing our shoes, removing the things that we think this is what children's ministry would be, and I can do that. We're approaching God and we're saying, show us where you are at work. In children, families around here, open the door for us to join in. Show us who you are choosing and anointing for that so that we can move ahead with that. In other words, we want to put on Christ in every ministry that we have. Now that can be difficult. It's encouraging, but it can be challenging. We can think, experience here, I know what the church is like. All kinds of things will go through our minds when we do that. I remember once, it wasn't here, but some other church that I was in once before, and I was sharing during the sermon about a very difficult thing that Jesus had done. We would look at it and we say, wow, that's crazy. Why would he do something like that? We thought Jesus was very different, and I was trying to bring that out. And somebody says, you know what? My Jesus wouldn't do that. I kind of let it go, but I'm thinking, when did he become your Jesus? I mean, what do you mean? Who's following who? See, when you're putting on Christ, you begin to see whose you are as well as who you are. He starts showing you your purpose. And in that purpose, he shows you that you belong to him. And he will never leave you, never forsake you, never let you go. Be with you in every moment of pain, No matter how low and dark it gets, he's there. No matter how high it gets, he's there. He's always with you. As you put on Christ, you begin to know that and walk in that and even begin to love it. He will bring you to the place where you know that you know that your name is written on the palm of his hand. And you can walk from that all the days of your life. Now the question I think for us this Advent and today is this. Of the specific things God's already begun showing you this morning, and the doors he's begun to open within your heart, what does he want you to do? What's his plan for what he's shown you? Some of you may have already begun to get something about children's ministry. And the question would be, what's his plan for what he just tapped you on the shoulder about? Some of you may have received something this morning about where God is at work in the community, among people that no church today is reaching in any way, and you've begun to see something. The question would be, what's his plan for what he just showed you? And there may be all kinds of other things that some of you have been able to get, but even this morning. So the next question would always be, what's his plan for what he's just shown you? Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are drawing us to yourself, and we ask that you would give us your capacity to remember what you have done, anticipate what you will be doing, and put on Christ this day and every day until you return. Amen.